And as we gather today, we're looking at a verse of scripture that the Lord has laid on our heart. And rather than talking about earthly fathers, I want to offer some encouragement to earthly fathers by talking about the heavenly Father. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Amen. So we want to invite you to John chapter 14, verses 8 through 14 is where we will find our scripture text for today. And while you're turning there or finding it on your iPad or your mobile device, people used to say turn in your Bible, wherever you're looking at the word, look at the word, amen? I want to thank Crossroads for coming and supporting us at the revival on last week at St. Paul. It certainly was a blessing, as well as on yesterday down in Dry Fork, where we were able to have fellowship with the annual men's conference. So we thank God for that. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. Believe me that I am in my Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whoever, whatsoever shall you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. May God continue to bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I want to share with you just a few thoughts today on the greatness of the Father, the greatness of the Father. Lord God, I ask that you would just speak through me now and help me to proclaim that which you've given me in study. I pray that you'd bring forth your word with power and conviction. More importantly, Lord, that we would celebrate and recognize who you are, the very God of our lives. We're always grateful for the many blessings that you bestowed upon our lives. And just want to let you know that we love you and we thank you. Bless us now in our time together, that it be time well spent. I ask in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen and amen. In reading the Bible, it's a wonderful journey that people will have as they discover things not only about God, but also the people that put their trust in God. The Bible is very straightforward. It lets you know that there were some people that failed, but then there were people that depended on God to guide them every step of the way. And because of that, it introduces us to a life that is well spent. If you think about it, people come into this world and they wonder, what is my purpose? What is my mission? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? You can only find the answer to that is when you turn to the pages of the Bible. And of all that the Bible talks about, it expresses the greatness of God Almighty. Shows how good he is. He didn't just make the universe and become impersonal, as some people believe that he did. He stepped aside and left it to the laws of nature and the laws of man. No, God came into this world, manifested himself, which means he revealed himself to show I'm God. I'm not some remote being pulling levers as the Wizard of Oz did. He's Almighty God who cares deeply about you and about me. This God is the one that we serve. We don't serve him just out of abstract. Whatever you want to do and however you feel about it, you serve him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because when you see him, something moves you. Something begins to happen to you. None of us would know God were it not for Jesus Christ. He said, now your fathers, they received the law, but I'm giving you what God is like. I want to give you a couple of things that Jesus loved to talk about. You'll find that in the Gospels that we read about Jesus, but he loved to talk about his mission. What is my mission? He expressed it in what we call the I am statements. And that reference to I am was Jesus saying, I'm God, I'm Yahweh, I have a body, I'm walking among you. Here's some of the things that Jesus said about himself, and it stated his mission. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. If anyone comes to me, he will have to come to me to get to the Father. I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said that, and it stated what his mission was. He wanted us to know that I am the God who's come to be with you and to save you. Isn't that wonderful? He loved talking about his mission. But not only did Jesus talk about his mission, he also talked about God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. He would use these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like one that sowed seed in a field. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a man that hid a treasure in a field. He talked about the kingdom of God because he wanted us not only to know about it and have a head knowledge of what the kingdom was referring to, Jesus wanted us to enter into that kingdom. As a matter of fact, one of his statements in John 10:9 said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Jesus loved talking about his mission. He loved talking about his Father's kingdom. And as we are getting into the 14th chapter of John, Jesus loved talking about his Father's house. His Father's house. I know a lot of us, we pride ourselves in the homes that we have. Some of us got big homes. Some of us got smaller homes. Amen. Some of us have places that we love to go to. All our homes that we have here is nothing compared to the Father's house. It pales in comparison. Amen. Matter of fact, Zillow can't even estimate the value of it. But he loved talking about that. And what I discovered in the Gospel of John alone is that Jesus loved talking about this third thing, and that's about his Father. He loved that more than anything else that he shared with us. He loved talking about his Father. Over 400 references in the New Testament. 132 of the references are actually in the Gospel of John where Jesus is telling us about his Father. 14th chapter of John has 23 references to God, his Father, because he wanted us to know the Father. He wanted us to be able to understand who he was and why the Father had sent him into this world. He loved talking about his Father. When Philip asked that question, he said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father also. And why are we talking about the greatness of the Father? I believe we talk about the greatness of God the Father because it helps us. Guess who's made in the image of God? You and me. We learn from God how we are to live and to conduct our lives. Otherwise, we just do what we want. We would live such lives that where we would destroy ourselves. Do you not know that the terrible thing about sin is that it destroys the very vessel that it dwells in? And that's why God doesn't want us in sin, because sin kills us. It literally will destroy your life and my life. But thank God when you got new life in God, it frees you from the bondage of sin so that you can serve God. So whenever Jesus talked about his Father, he was telling us, I want you to know him. I want you to know my daddy. I want you to know how great my father is. Yeah. I want you to know that he's prepared a place for you. I want you to know that the Father loves you.
Yeah.
I want you to know that these are my Father's commandments that he's given you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus was excited about his Father. Why? Because he knew him. He knew him. And so what I want to do in a few minutes, I want to give the men and also everyone that's here, ladies, I want to give you an example of what it's like to not only know the Father, but to emulate the life that the Father gives. The wonderful things about God. You got a wonderful God.
Yeah.
And if you don't know him, it's certainly not because Jesus didn't talk about him. He went on and on and on, praising his Father, honoring his Father, saying, I'm going to obey my Father. Why? Because he loved him. I want to ask you a question. Do you love God? If you love him, you're going to express it. You're going to express it both to God and to other people that are around you. You're going to love loving God, and God's going to dwell in you, and you will abide in his presence because now you know him. It's one thing to meet somebody, but it's another thing to really, really know them. I learned something very valuable when we were growing up. Us kids, you know, in the country, we'd grow up in you know, and we'd visit each other's homes and everything, sit down at their table, we'd eat food with them. But when nighttime came, you had to go to your own house. They weren't about to take care of you. They'd fed you, they'd entertained you, now it's time for you to go on home. You know, and that showed us that you have a place. So when we learn about the Father, the first thing that we discover about the Father, and Jesus wanted us to know this, is that the Father has prepared a place for you. A lot of people think that they're going to live forever in this world, that this is the life. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is the introduction to the life. When you learn about God and you learn about his ways, you're being introduced to another world. This house that you're living in, as strong as you may be, by the way, I'm just going to do a little test here. How many of you all are under 40? Raise your hand, please. And I say 40 is the halfway point. We got Come on, Richard, raise your hand, man. Make me feel a little bit better. Okay, all right, thank you. I should have said 50. How many of y'all under 50? All right, now we see more hands. Okay, all right, God bless you. And the reason why I say that is because those of you that are young, you naturally assume that you're going to live a long time, right? And you probably, that's right, you have the expectation of living. Those of us who are over 50 have come to the realization that this old vessel that we're living in, it's going to get rid of us. You know, we're going to have to leave this house. And I don't say that in a morbid sense. I don't say it in the sense of dread. I appreciate every day that I get up. You better believe I'm praising God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you. You know, and I'm excited about the fact that he gave me another day. You learn to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Every second you have, you learn to appreciate it. Yeah. Amen. You can put your feet out over the edge of the bed and wave them around. Yeah, God. God, you're good. So good. Thank you. But we know that this house that we're living in will get to the point where it will no longer be able to afford us a home. Amen. Now, if you can imagine in that environment in Palestine, where a lot of the people had these earthly homes, had a dirt top to it. They had shanties, they had shacks that they lived in. And here it is, Jesus standing in the midst of them and telling them, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. They would look up probably at the temple and say, wait a minute, there's got to be something like that temple up there. And by the way, if you come up to the temple from the Kidron Valley, and the reason why they would go up to Jerusalem is because Jerusalem sat up on a hill. And if you can imagine this massive building sitting up on a hill, where the priests would go in. Many of them would live there, and they would store other things there in the temple. And they would say, you know, that's a wonderful place. As they would come up from the Kidron Valley, and they would see that massive temple built out of white marble, and it was glistening like the sun. They said, oh my, what a temple. And then Jesus, here he is talking about my Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Some interpretation call it rooms. And in our limited minds, we think that that room is some little small space, maybe 10 by 12. Maybe we got a little suite that we kind of live in. Maybe it's 1,500. No. It's not necessarily talking about the size of the room, but who's there. It's talking about the mansion that God has prepared. The place where God lives is the place where you're going to live when your body tells you, okay, get out. Your Father in heaven said, come on home. Oh, I think y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. I put the signal on. That's why we don't go through life worrying about what's next. What's going to happen next? How am I going to do things in my life next? When you know that God has prepared a place for you, that's all you need to know. And every day that you live, you get up with the confidence that it's all in God's hands. Can I get a witness here? So we understand that this provides an essential for fatherhood. Every father is going to want to provide a place for their children. Whether it be small or large, they're going to make sure that my child has a place to stay. If you're a father, by the way, you got them kids. It wasn't just the mama, it was the daddy also. I'm going to preach today. I know you might get upset and everything, but you ain't seen nothing yet. But if you have the love in your heart, you want to do that. You want to provide for them whichever way that you can. You want to provide for them so that they would have a place to stay. Where do we get that from? You got it from God. God said, I'm going to provide for you a place. And not only did he provide for you a place in eternity, how many of y'all know he's taking care of you right now? Every footstep you take, every heartbeat that you have, every movement that you make, God's got his eye on you and he's taking care of you. I sing that song, My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me.
Yes, sir.
Amen, somebody. His eye is on his way. And what is that talking about? It's talking about the care of God for his children. Fathers, let me challenge you. Take care of your kids. You may not be able to give them everything. You may not. They may come to you wanting the world. You just tell them, look, I can't give you the world. I'll try to give you the next meal. And that's it. But I'll do the best I can. Why? Because I'm imitating God. John, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be imitators of God as dear children. And do what? Walk in love, even as your Father walked. That's what you do. Because God lays it on your heart to do it. Second thing about Father, Jesus loved to talk about his Father. And he said, did you not know that my Father has revealed himself? He looked at Philip and said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. As a matter of fact, what Jesus was saying, everything that I do, I watch the Father. I watched him do it. You know, growing up on the farm, I watched my daddy. I wanted to stay in the house and watch him. Bro, heard he'd go out to the field and he it wasn't a thing of, y'all watch me. No, you get out here, you get a hole, you do like I'm doing. Jesus watched his Father and all that he did. He said, now the works that I'm doing, I do it because I watch my daddy. Let me turn this thing around for you. Let me help you. The reason why we can have some good men, people and society, Hollywood would think, we ain't got no good men. All men are dogs. You better turn that around. Amen. We got some good men. Any good men in here? I said, any good men in here? Thursday night, the men turned out St. Paul. Good men. Are we perfect? No. But we're following a God that every day we follow him, he keeps improving us. Y'all ever seen these signs that people got in their cars and on the roadside under improvement? You ever seen that? You know, so the sign said, I'm under improvement. God's not finished with me yet. You can judge me, but God's still working on me. Can I get a witness here? And one of these old days, I'm going to be like the Lord. Amen. So what does the father do? He shares with his children. And that verse tells us in verses 9 and 10, it tells us that Jesus said unto him, Philip, I've been a long time with you, and yet you've not known me. If you've seen my father, if you've seen me, you have seen the father also. Then he tells him, believe me. Believe me. Jesus uses that believe me statement three times. In the 14th chapter of John, he opens up by saying, in my father's house, it said, matter of fact, he says in John 14 and verse 1, he tells us that, in verse 2 rather, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But in verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, do what? Believe also in me. Jesus said again in verse 10, believe me that I am in my Father and the Father is in me. And if you don't believe me, just look at the works. Everything that Jesus did pointed directly to the Father. Pointed directly to the Father. So men, how should we help our children? Everything that you teach your children should point directly to God. In a world of doing wrong, you need to tell them to do right. What do I mean by that? Tell them, don't be going out telling lies, because every lie you tell, you got to cover it up. Amen. It's better just to go and tell the truth in the first place. How many of y'all learned that you got to pay for lies? And I'm gonna tell you something. If you lie one time, then you got to lie another time about the lie you told. Then you got to have a real good memory. I can't think that deep. Are y'all still here? So what does the father do? He shares with his children his identity. Jesus was identifying himself by identifying his father. I looked at a picture one time, and I thought it was me. I had on this neat little cap, sideways. And Mel, I thought it was me. You know, and I said to myself, Mom, when I take that picture? She said, that ain't your picture. I said, but it looked like me. She said, that's your daddy. I said, he was a good-looking man. But I say that when you hang out with God, it makes you look better. I know y'all, I ain't gonna know, amen. I ran into some of my buddies, used to hang the street with, and you know, hang out there with. And back in the country, we didn't have clubs to drink in. All right, I'm telling on myself now. My wife tells me I need to stop. But I want to tell y'all where I'm coming from, because you'll know that I'm on my way to a different place. Amen. Our clubhouse was the old oak tree. All right? And we would sit around the oak tree, tell lies and everything. But I ran into some of my old buddies that I used to drink with, I used to hang out with. And man, life has taken a toll on them. You cannot believe that when you surrender your life to God, how much He improves just the way you look. You don't look like you're worn out. You don't look like, amen, that you just kind of just hanging in there. You can see literally the joy of the Lord on the faces of people that the Lord has touched their life. That's why I invite people, get a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because when you get a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, He'll turn you around and He'll give you a purpose for living. I'm a living witness of that. I know what God can do. Jesus is telling us here, I got my identity from the Father. I look like Him. I act like Him because He has given me every word that I'm speaking, that I'm telling you about God. He said, believe me for the very work's sake. They declare that I am God. What is another essential? Another essential is to have that inspiring life and life of purpose. That inspiring life and a life of purpose. What gives you energy? What motivates you? Now, I'm going to tell you something, fathers. There's a Bible verse that says, do not provoke your children to wrath. How do you provoke your children to wrath? Here's one way. You ain't going to never be nothing. You'll never get anywhere in life. Now, You talking about your seed. You're speaking death and limitation to the very seed, as in the biblical term, that you begat. Why would you talk down on them if they are a reflection of you? I like what my daddy said sometime. He would say, I'll teach you everything I know. And I said, man, that's good. One thing I learned to watch your money. That fifth grade education. My father had a fifth grade education. And his advice to me, watch your money. If you don't know where your money is, somebody else does. And I found it to be true. Every time Dad would, and my nephews in Portsmouth, they're going to love that. Every time Dad put out his wallet, he had a Velcro wallet. You know the ones go. And you would never see him pulling out his money in front of you. He'd always turn his back. You ain't looking in my wallet. I learned it from my dad. My wife said, why are you so stingy? I got it from my daddy. She loved to shop. I love to save. I'm in trouble now. No rice pudding for today. Lord have mercy. Let me hear him finish preaching there. Miss Kavanaugh, I'm in trouble. I need you to bail me out now. So. But Jesus loved to talk about his Father. He loved to brag on his Father because he loved him. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to church because we want to brag about God. We want to boast about his goodness and his mercy. We want to boast about the things that he has done for us. But you cannot boast about what you do not know. That's why every time you get into the Word, you have an opportunity to find out about the Father. To know that he is God. To know that he's a way maker. To know that he's your friend. And as Jesus said in these verses, here's another thing that you want to do. You want to be able to empower them so that they can do the work. Jesus wasn't just telling us about the Father, and then we would get back and say, okay, God's going to work this out for me. Listen to what it says in verses 13 and 14. God's giving you something that you didn't even realize you had. You have an inheritance from God that you can start using right now. Verily, verily, I say to you, watch this, he that believes in me, remember the works we talked about? The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father. But I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you in doing these greater works. And so everything that you and I do that is good, we give all the glory to God. Because he will lead you into good works. I'm so glad I got a Heavenly Father that I can look to. You know, my dad passed away in 2004. And it broke my heart that day. But then I realized that that little short man taught me some stuff that I never would have known. So rather than missing him in a bad way, I kind of miss him in a good way. Because I'll get out there. The other day I was walking, I was trying to figure out what a yard was. Now, can you imagine a little short man trying to figure out what a yard is? And I would stretch my legs like he did. Because I was so inspired by what he was doing. He loved us. He cared about us. And I never will forget the time, Miss Campbell, when he got out there, the pigs got out the pen. I'm telling you all these country stories. Y'all don't want to hear this country stuff. But the pigs got out, and Dad didn't want to shoot them with the shotgun, so he got the BB gun. And Brother Hurd, he got behind him with that BB gun and shot the pigs. Sure enough, they went back into the pen. Later on that winter when we was eating the ham. Next thing you knew, you run across a BB. Fathers, love your children. Spend some time with them. I get it that sometimes the relationship with the mom may not be there, but that's no excuse not to care about your children. You take them. You teach them. Show them how to do things. Show them how to care about life and to live the good life. Where do we get that from? Got it from God. Got it from the Father. who sits high and looks low. If you would do your very best, I guarantee that Jesus will take those little works that you're doing and he'll magnify it. And he will say, that honors me. You've done a good thing. You've been a good dad. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. I know we don't tell you enough how much we love you. But we want to say today, Happy Father's Day. In the same way Jesus bragged on you, we want to brag on you. We want to boast about your goodness and your mercy. We want to just let the world know that you are Almighty God, and that what they need to do is to fall in love with you. And Lord, if we do that, we will let them know that you are real and that you are powerful and that you are close in our heart, even abiding in us. That's exactly what you do, because you live in us also. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you for all these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask all the dads to please stand as we ask all the dads to stand. And we're going to pray for you after the male chorus would sing. You got a lot on your shoulders, a lot going against you. But I'm counting on you to be the best dad that you can be. And I want to challenge you, don't settle with what you've been doing or where you've been. Look at your future and know that God is going to give you the strength to be that very best dad. He's an example to us. He'll show you how to live your life. Is that all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, you see these men that have stood. And God, there's no way that we can stand on our own and by our own strength. We depend upon your power. I'm praying that you would touch them, bless their lives to be productive. And even as we pray for them, we pray for the men that are joining us online. We ask that you'd bless them. Bless the fathers, Lord. Help them to stand up in this society that we're living in, this society that says it's nothing to be a man. It is everything to be a father. It's everything, because our Heavenly Father wants us to be the very best that we can. But Lord knows we cannot do it without your divine guidance. Help us, God. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your grace and love. And Lord, we'll forever give you the praise and all of the honor. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. 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 Men, you may be seated. While the choir is singing, I want to give anyone an opportunity that if you want to be saved, if you want to give your life to God, today is a good day. You can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord. There ain't it. Will you come? Invitation is given. Invitation is given. If you're joining us online, you can just write to us at Crossroad Baptist Church, 191 Crossroad Lane. I know people don't write letters these days, so go to our website. Visit us at our website, crossroadbc.com. We'd love to hear from you. Amen. Amen. Same, Brother Noble.
Today is a hard day for me. For those that don't know, I sung with my father all my life. I started singing when I was 9 years old, falling behind him. And he sung with me until he couldn't travel anymore. One night, well, one weekend, rather, we were singing in West Virginia. And up until that point, I would sing, but it wasn't, I guess, the best that maybe I could. I thought I was. But one night, after we had sung on a Saturday night, that Sunday, this voice deep down inside me said, look, I have kept you safe running up and down the highway. There were times when you didn't make anything at all, but you still ate. So why are you singing and not giving me everything that you got? So I made up in my mind that Sunday that every time I sung, it might not be the same today as it was yesterday. It might not be the same tomorrow, if you hear me. But believe me, it's everything that I got. Yes. Because God giveth, and God can take it away.
Yes.
This song, it means a lot. So listen. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
is the best thing I am.
Oh, rock me in his arms.
Yeah, is the best thing I am.
I just want to tell the world the best thing.
Best thing.
Hey,
best thing is the best thing I am.
Are you in love with me today? Are you in love with him today?
Oh, 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 oh.
I love you, Jesus. Whoa!
I'm still trying to figure out a blue Honda van 1779. What does this mean? Okay. Last four of the license plate number 1779. Blue Honda van. I still don't know. Oh, they need to move it. Okay. All right. Okay, very good. You know, Pastor, one of the takeaways that, you know, I mean, a wonderful sermon. And I was really listening. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, there is not one time that, you know, he mentioned the word a man. All the time his father. So, which means that, you know, a father will never lie to his children. So God never lied to his children. And so it is. Fathers should never lie to their children. Thank the Lord for the message. God bless. Father, today we thank you. Thank you for the message. It is Father's Day, and it's a day of celebration for each and every one of us. But may we, O God, as fathers, celebrate this day thinking about who you are to us. And so we will imitate you as we navigate life with our children and with each other. And that people will see that your character resonates in us because of your spirit. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the man of God who has proclaimed it. We pray that you continue to use him for your glory. So as we depart from this place, Lord, we do pray and ask a special blessing upon our offering. We pray, dear God, that you will use it to continue, Lord, to proclaim your word, to reach out many souls, Father, not only here or in our community, but also around the world. And those who are listening, use it so that men and women, boys and girls, may come to the saving grace and the knowledge of Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day.